of comfort and solace for them in the Qabr too, and also on the plains of Qiyamah. Because no matter how much of the world a person hoards or amasses, nothing of this world is going to go with the person in his Qabr. The only thing that goes with him are his amal salihah, his righteous deeds. Whether he had a magnificent mansion, whether he put up a huge block of flats, whether he possessed the most modern motor vehicle with all the bells and whistles, whether he held a coveted position, member of parliament, whatever the case may be, all these things of the dunya will not help him in the qabr and the akhirat. It is only amal salihah, righteous deeds, that will help a person. Like a hadith of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explains very beautifully, that يَتْبَعُ الْمَيِّتَ ثَلَاثْ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَعَمَلُهُ يَرْجِعُ إِثْنَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَاحِدْ يَرْجِعُ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَيَبْقَى عَمَلُهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاتُ وَسَلَامُ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explains the situation of the Arab people, that when a person is to pass away in those days, especially in the days of Jahiliyyah, in the days of ignorance, then it was a custom that the family members obviously used to accompany the janazah to the qabristan. So they would go with the janazah, and together with that they would take along the wealth of that person. The wealth of the Arabs was primarily in livestock, so that means they used to take the camels, goats, all this wealth of that person. They would take these animals too to the qabristan. So that is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that when a mayit goes to the qabristan, three things follow him: his family, his wealth in the form of this livestock, and his amal, his deeds. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says two things return from the qabristan. Only one thing remains behind with him in the qabr. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then elaborated that the two things that return from the qabristan are his family and his wealth to be distributed among the heirs. The only thing that remains with him are his amal, his good deeds, righteous deeds, that will hold him in good stead, benefit him in the qabr. We read in the hadith that when a righteous person, a Muslim, passes away, then in the qabr his amal, good deeds, form a fort, a fortress around him to protect him from the punishment of the qabr. Whatever salah he performs stands on the right side of the deceased in his qabr. His roza stands on his left side. His tilawat and dhikr stands on the side of his head. The steps he took to go to the masjid, they stand towards his legs. And then the patience that he bore upon calamities in this world, that patience stands in one corner of the grave. In other words, these were abstract amal actions, but they will be given a physical form to protect him from the punishment in the qabr. When the punishment tries to come in from the right side, then his salah, his namaz, will ward off that punishment. That keep away, you cannot come from this direction. Then the punishment tries to enter the qabr from the left side, the rozas push away the punishment, keep away, you cannot come. Punishment tries to come from the head side, his tilawat of the Quran, his dhikr, that stops the punishment. When it comes from the leg side, then the steps that he took towards the masjid to perform salah, that drives away the punishment. So in this way, his amal form a fortress in order to protect him from the punishment that could come towards him in the qabr. Patience that is sitting in one corner of the qabr then says to the other amal that if there was some weakness in you, I would have come as a backup, but you did not need my assistance, so I will benefit this person on the plains of Qiyamah when his amal will be weighed on the scale of deeds. So it is these amal salihah, righteous deeds, that a person should work towards, because that is the only thing that is going to provide solace, comfort, intercession for a person, together with the intercession, inshallah, of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Amal will also provide intercession on the day of Qiyamah. So a sensible person will accumulate as much good deeds as possible to deposit for the akhirat. He will not hanker after the dunya. The reason why a person hankers after the world, he runs behind worldly material assets is that because he does not have the yaqeen of the akhirat, then that is an eternal abode. He will have to give an account for his deeds. He will have to go with his deeds to be weighed on a scale. Those deeds will also be a source of solace for him, or a solid source of grief for him if there were rotten deeds in the qabr. So if a person realizes that I am merely traveling through this world, this is a temporary sojourn in this world, kun fi dunya ka annaka gharib, live in the world like a traveler, not to stay forever and ever yet, but you are moving towards the akhirat. That is your ultimate goal, that is what you should aim for, deposit for the akhirat, then those amal will be beneficial to you in the qabr too, in the akhirat as well, on the pool sirat, at the time of weighing the deeds, at all times and crucial times, these amal salihah will be of benefit to a person in the next world, in the year after. The reason primarily why a person hankers after the dunya and becomes neglectful of the akhirat is because of greed of material wealth. Whatever Allah Ta'ala gives, He has destined for a person should make qana'at on that. There should be contentment that Allah Ta'ala only decreed this much of livelihood for me, so I should budget my expenses, try and come out with this livelihood, with whatever Allah Ta'ala has provided for me, and not hanker after the dunya. Otherwise, people who run after the world, Nabi Sallam has described such people in the hadith, that if such people were to be given a valley full of gold, then too they would not rest until they get a second valley of gold, and then a third and a fourth valley. لا يملأ جوفه إلا التراب. Eventually the only thing that will satiate his appetite for the dunya will be the soil of the qabr. When he dies, leaves the world, goes into the qabr, that is the only time the greed for the world will end. So that is the situation. Man's natural instinct to hanker after the dunya, and the reason for that is that a person does not have that yaqeen and conviction that this is only a temporary abode. The eternal abode is the abode of the akhirat. Our pious predecessors knew that this world and whatever we earn in this world is merely for our necessities. It is not something to hoard and to amass and to feel that it will benefit us in the qabr or in the akhirat. People like Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Qasim Sahib Nahloti Rahmatullahi, who was basically the founder of Darul Ulum Deoband, he never used to take a salary from the madrasa. For his livelihood, he was under the employment of a certain Islamic publishing house. He used to proofread the manuscripts and used to get a salary for it. And what was his salary? A meager 10 rupees a month. Today 10 rupees equates to about 2 rands only. But of course in those days it may have been worth more, but then too it was not a huge sum of money. 10 rupees a month, 2 rands a month. So once he got an offer, when people realized his academic capabilities, he got an offer from elsewhere for a lucrative job that would pay him 1,000 rupees a month. Weighs 10 rupees, we are 1,000 rupees. But he turned down that offer, telling those people that alhamdulillah, Allah has given me peace of mind. The 10 rupees that I earn every month, 5 rupees, half of that is sufficient for the expenses of my household members. The other 5 rupees I set aside for the students of deen, that those who are deserving, I spend it on them, I give it to them in charity. So he wrote to this affluent person that made him the job offer, the lucrative job, that if you are going to pay me 1,000 rupees a month, 5 rupees from that will be sufficient for my expenses, where will I spend the other 995 rupees? Just to find a deserving student to spend on, that itself is a headache. I have to screen the candidates that are deserving. So where will I find so many students to spend 995 rupees upon? So he turned down that offer. Why? Because these people had that qanaat. They had that contentment. What Allah Ta'ala has decreed for us should suffice for me. I should curtail my expenses, look to the needs and not to the wants. When a person goes toward the wants, then even a huge sum of money is not sufficient for him. His needs must be fulfilled. That is the way a mu'min should spend his life in this world, that there must be sufficient for his expenses. Allah is a provider. While we are here, Allah provides for our children. While we leave the world, then to Allah will provide for them. He is a provider. He has taken the responsibility. وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. That there is no living being on the face of this earth except that Allah Ta'ala provides for that creature, for the creation. وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا. Allah Ta'ala knows the permanent address of every single creation, and He also knows that the temporary address. Today if you are working for a company and you go for a few days to Cape Town for a little holiday, and payday comes, and let's say it is still the old system, they have to send the wage to you, no EFT like we have today. So then the boss, the company will have to look for you. Said, where have you gone to? I want to get your salary to you. But Allah Ta'ala knows a person's permanent abode, address in this world, and also temporary address. Whether you are in Cape Town, whether you are in Timbuktu, whether you are on a remote island, whatever rosy livelihood is meant for you, it will reach you. Because that has been decreed for you. So this is qanaat. This is a great gift and a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Contentment with whatever Allah ta'ala provides for us. There was a buzrug in Amroha. Amroha is a place in the vicinity close to Muradabad. Via Delhi, you go to Muradabad. So this buzrug was a very simple, down-to-earth wali of Allah. He was well known as Shah Amrohi Rahmatullah Ali. He had a little hifz class. He used to teach children hifzul Quran. And his classroom was also a makeshift structure, a hut, bamboo sticks put up, little straw on top for the ceiling, and that used to provide shade. Under that shade, he used to teach the children the Quran and Kareem. Once a certain hermit happened to pass by Amroha, and he noticed this buzrug seated teaching the children the Quran under such a simple structure. He realized this is a very poor man. So this hermit happened to have the ancient secret of alchemy. He had a bottle in which there was some formula, some liquid, that if that liquid were to be poured into stone, the stone would turn into gold. So he went up to Shah Amrohi Rahmatullahi and presented this vial, this bottle to him. He said, Hazrat, you take this, you pour it over any stone, it will turn to gold. You can build a beautiful structure for your madrasa, so take this bottle. Shah Amrohi Rahmatullahi merely gestured that there was a little shelf behind him. He said to the person, leave it there. So he left it there, and the hermit continued on his journey. After a year, the hermit decided to pass through Amroha again, and was curious to find maybe a very magnificent building, a beautiful madrasa structure where Shah Amrohi is now teaching. When they reached that spot, he found the same makeshift hut under which he was teaching the previous year. And he said to Shah Amrohi Rahmatullahi, why did you not use that vial with the formula of alchemy to enhance yourself financially, to progress in life? So he said to the hermit, I even forgot about that vial. When he looked behind, it was still on the same spot on that shelf for the entire year. He did not utilize it. So the hermit asks him, why did you not use this? This could have been a fortune for you. So he replied, the peace of mind, contentment that Allah Ta'ala has provided for me in the little that I have, that is sufficient for me. I do not need more than that. We know about Ibrahim bin Adham Rahmatullahi, who was a king of a huge region. But when Allah Ta'ala wanted to guide him, he forsake all the kingdom, all the wealth and riches, went out, became a hermit, traveling from town to town, engaged in the ibadat of Allah, inviting people towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His ministers in the kingdom, in the palace, began to miss him. So they had a little meeting, and they appointed one person, that you go out in search of our king, bring our king back. He was a just ruler. We are missing him. So this appointed person went out in search of Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham Rahmatullahi, formerly a king. Now he had become a pauper, moving from town to town. The little he had, he was content with that. Allah has provided for me, this is sufficient. So this minister that was appointed went out in search for him and found him on the bank of a stream of water, that he was sitting there mending some blanket of his or some duvet of his. He had in his hand a needle with thread. He was busy repairing that blanket. And this minister went up to him and said to him that, "Oh, our king, you have forsaken your kingdom, all that success for this life. You are sitting here like a pauper on the bank of the river next to the stream, busy mending your blanket." So he said to the minister that, "Good luck to your kingdom. I do not need that. Allah has given me a kingdom that is far better than the kingdom that I enjoyed in previous days." And saying this, he threw down the gauntlet of challenge to this minister by taking that sewing needle which he was using and throwing it into the stream. Then he said to the minister that, "Show me if you can recover this needle of mine from the bottom of the water." So he called expert divers from the kingdom that went into the river and searched for that needle, but it was nowhere to be found. Then they came up unsuccessful. So then Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah says to the minister that, "Now watch this. Look at the qudrat and the power of Allah." He addressed all the fish in that stream. He said, "Oh fish of this river, bring the needle back for me." No sooner had he said that, so many mouths of fish popped out of the river, each one carrying a needle in his mouth, and not an ordinary needle. Some of them had needles made of pure gold, some had needles made of silver. So he said to the fish, "I don't need all these needles. Bring back my original steel needle." So thereafter one fish popped his head out and brought back the needle of Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi. He said to the minister, "Tell me, is that kingdom better or is this kingdom better?" That Allah Ta'ala's nusrat, Allah Ta'ala's help is with me. So obviously this qanaat, contentment, is a great gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person does not have contentment, he wants to hoard and hoard and hoard, one shop to two shops to three shops. Never is appetite satiated. He wants to amass and hoard more and more, where this wealth, that beautiful building, that business will not go with a person to his qabr. It will not assist him in his qabr. Those amal saliha that he deposited for the akhirat, that will hold him in good stead. Someone came to a certain buzurg and asked for a ta'wil. So buzurg asked him, "What do you need a ta'wil for?" So he said, "For barakat in my livelihood. Allah must give barakat in my livelihood, in my provision." So he kept pestering the buzurg. The buzurg decided to make some inquiries. What is the financial position of this man? When he made inquiries, he was astounded to find that this person has a beautiful palatial home. He has a thriving business. He owns the best motor vehicle. He has everything of the dunya, yet he is asking for ta'weez to increase his livelihood. So the buzurg understood that this is a man of the dunya. That is why we are told, "Kunu abna al-akhirah, wala takunu abna al-dunya." Become children of the akhirat, don't become children of this dunya, of this world. So the buzurg put two and two together, that this man has greed within him. He is not making shukr of what Allah Ta'ala has given to him. So he called this person and said to him, "Listen, do one thing. Daily just recite 7 times at least, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah." So he carried out that amal. He started reciting 7 times daily, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. And slowly but surely, Allah Ta'ala put that contentment in his heart, peace of mind. He no more returned to the buzurg to ask for ta'weez. And this is what Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you show gratitude, I will increase for you. In other words, I will increase the barakat of your wealth. That little wealth can go a long way. The hadith also tells us, مَا نَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِّن مَالٍ. That if a person spends in charity, it does not decrease his wealth. It increases his wealth. We may say in terms of quantity, it decreases. If a person from 1,000 rand has to give 2.5%, He gives 25 ren, he is left with 975 rens. In terms of quantity, it is less. But the barakah that Allah Ta'ala will put in there, that 975 rands will go a longer way than the 1,000 rands would have went had he not given his zakat, had he not paid his charity. So Allah Ta'ala puts barakat in amazing ways. A person needs to have that kana'at, that contentment. That Allah Ta'ala gives a person contentment, then inshallah he will have peace of mind. A person that does not have contentment, he has greed within him. He becomes oblivious of his surroundings. He becomes oblivious of needy, destitute people. He is not prepared to part with his wealth, with his assets. Someone once came upon a Bedouin. The Bedouin was sitting next to his dog that used to be his companion. And the dog was dying. It was on its in the throes of death. So people went past, pitying this person, the Bedouin himself, was weeping uncontrollably, tears were streaming down his cheeks. So no one had the courage to ask him. One person went up and decided to ask him, they tell me, why are you weeping? So he said, can you not see my lifelong companion, my dog that looks after my property, he is dying, lying on the floor. So the man asks him, then what is the reason for this condition of the dog? So he replied, starvation. The dog is starving. So then this man noticed next to this Bedouin, there was a huge sack. So he asked him, what is in this bag of yours? So he said, there is a lot of bread in the bag. So he said, there's bread there and you complain that your dog is dying of starvation. Why don't you feed the dog? But because this man was a man with greed, a man of the dunya, he replied, it is easier for me to shed tears than to feed the bread to the dog. I'd rather have the dog die than to sacrifice my bread. This obviously was greed. So this is an example in a metaphorical sense that today that is a condition of our deen. Our deen within us, our deeni condition is practically dying, deteriorating all the time from day to day. Yet we have those precious assets at our disposal to strengthen our deen, to strengthen our iman. We are lamenting, we are complaining that our deen has become weak, our iman has become weak. But Nabi Karim SAW has provided the resources. In the hadith, Nabi SAW says, تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ ثَقَلَيْنَ إِن تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِمَا لَن تَظِلُّوا بَعْدِ. That I leave with you two precious assets. If you hold fast onto them, that is you implement them, practice upon them, you will never go astray. Then Nabi SAW explained that what are these two assets? Kitabullah wa sunnati, the book of Allah and my sunnat. So it is like this Bedouin. We are complaining that our deeni condition is deteriorating. Our deen is on the dying bed. Yet we have at our disposal the Quran Kareem, the hadith of Rasulullah Kareem Sa'asim, the sunnat of Nabi Kareem Sa'asim. These are the two S's that can bring our deen alive again. But we are not prepared to utilize them. We are not prepared to practice on the dictates of the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A similar example was given by Hazrat Maulana Abraru Haqsab rahmatullah alayhi, who was the last living Khalifa of the Tanwi rahmatullah alayhi, who just passed away a few years ago. He also visited Azadwal some years ago. Local brothers had the good fortune of meeting him as well. So nevertheless, he used to give a beautiful example. Also in this way, in a metaphorical sense, that the condition of our deen is such, like a person standing on an intersection, a busy intersection. It is a hot summer's afternoon, in sweltering heat, he is perspiring profusely, complaining to every passerby, that listen, I am suffering from the heat, do something to grant me relief from the heat. But the people looking at him, consider him to be an lunatic. He is complaining about the heat, yet in one hand he's got a glass of ice cold water. In the other hand he's got a portable battery operated fan. He can drink that ice cold water, he can put that fan running in order to alleviate the heat that he's experiencing, but he's not utilizing that. So Hazrat Yusuf says, similarly is our condition. We are complaining that the the ummah is going down into the gutters. The ummah is being thrashed, oppressed from all sides. So Hazrat Yusuf say, our condition is like that man. In the one hand we have the Qur'an al-Kareem, in the other hand we have the Sunnah of Rasul al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you are complaining about the heat of oppression that is being thrown upon us from all quarters. If we implement the Qur'an al-Kareem, practice upon the Sunnah of Rasul al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then our deen will become alive. The ummah will be victorious once again. No one will have the guts or the gumption to even lay a finger on this ummah. But we are responsible for our own plight. The Quran tells us, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. Whatever calamity befalls you is because of the doing of your own hands. You are, because of your rotten amal, you are bringing about the destruction of deen. Bring deen alive again by practicing upon the Quran, practicing upon the sunnah of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and see how the deen once again comes alive, comes into our lives, into our environment, into our families, into our society, into our communities. We can once again see deen prospering. But unfortunately, we don't want to make an effort on our deen, we only busy making effort on our dunya. That is the condition of the ummah, something to truly lament over, something to cry tears of blood about. That this is the plight and the condition of the ummah. We need to get our priorities correct again. Go back to the original source, the Quran al-Kareem and the Sunnah of Rasul al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we will see success in this world, success in the qabr, success in the akhirat as well. Allah give us all tawfiq inshaAllah. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Today's short masala with regard to a person while fasting, if he happens to vomit, he happens to spew out, he brings up. The masala pertaining to this is that there are two scenarios. One is that the vomit comes out unprovoked. A person does not induce the vomit. It comes out involuntarily. So in that situation, whether it is a minute amount, whether it is a large amount, which is known as a mouthful of vomit, in both cases the roza will not break if it comes out on its own. But if a person induces the vomit, which a person will not normally be foolish to do, by sticking a finger into the throat, if he forces the vomit out, then it will be left to be seen. If a minute quantity comes out, even though he induced it, took it out intentionally, it will not break the roza if it is a minute amount. But if he induces the vomit and a mouthful of vomit comes out, mouthful means it fills the entire mouth, he cannot contain it, and it comes outside, and that is done intentionally by sticking the finger down the throat, then that will break the roza. Allah Ta'ala accept our ibadat of the month of Ramadan. Give us the tawfiq of valuing this. Give us the ability of realizing the purpose of our existence and the goal that we are headed towards, the akhirat. Allah give us the tawfiq of working towards that goal, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. سلام على المرسلين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأنزله المقعد المقرب عندك. اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة صل على سيدنا محمد وارض عني رضا لا تسخط بعده أبدا. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وارحم سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي وأزواج أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وترحم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما ترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ترحم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما ترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم تحنن على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما تحننت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم سلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما سلمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وارحم سيدنا محمد وآل سيدنا محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم، وبارك على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء، وأعطه الوسيلة الفضيلة المقام المحمود الذي وعدته، واجزه عنا ما هو أهله، واجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته، وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم، وبارك على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل علينا معهم. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك علينا معهم. صلوات الله وسلوات المؤمنين على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي. اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك على وبركاتك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما جعلتها على آل سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد البار الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله. سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله تحيات لله والصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. نسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار. نسأل الله الجنة ونعوذ بالله من النار. التحيات لله الزاكيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. اللهم اغفر لي واهدني. اللهم اغفر لنا واهدنا. التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله تحيات الله صلوات الله زاكيات لله. السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله شهدت أن محمد رسول الله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمد عبده ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات صلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات لله صلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. شيء أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الفقر وقنا عذاب الدين واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الأبرار. ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت. اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت. اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت. اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا. اللهم أجرنا من النار. اللهم أعنا على سكرات الموت وغمرات الموت. اللهم اجعلنا من عتقاء شهر رمضان. اللهم عاتق رقابنا ورقاب آبائنا وأمهاتنا من النار. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار. اللهم إنك عفو كريم رحيم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين واجعلنا من المتطهرين واجعلنا من الداعين واجعلنا من الذين يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر واجعلنا من الذين لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك من نبيك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك من نبيك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاء ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحابه أجمعين. بفضل سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.